It is a good thing to know God and to experience Him. There are lessons, some very obvious, from the message of resurrection. And the obvious ones, I don't want to go to this morning, because that's not my assignment this morning. While in a sense I'm going to address some obvious things, and thank God for the reading that Mama led us on and the comments that she made. Those are powerful comments. The Lord coming through behind those doors, shut doors. How appropriate in a time such as this when we are locked behind doors that He cannot be locked out. He can still come in because of resurrection life. That is awesome. That is awesome. That is so, so powerful. And I thank God for sharing that with us this morning through His chosen vessel. But today I want to talk to you about what is not readily obvious. In the passage that she led us in John 20, I'm going to start reading from the first segment, but the part that I want to take it off from is this part here. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early," she came early, "when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre." She came early when it was still dark. She came to the sepulchre. "And she sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre." Stone is rolled away. And thank God for what Mama shared concerning that, that the stone that blocks us inside the tomb, that God's power has moved it away, taken it away. Praise the Lord. "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." That disciple happened to be John. He addresses himself all the time as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So you think he loves you? He loves me more. And that was a powerful, powerful thing for him, because he ended up being the last one, the one who believed that he was loved. Ends up being the last one, you know, and he wouldn't have died. He just got satisfied with life and said, you know, beam me up. Just get me out of here. "And says unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Verse 3. This gets me to the aspect I want us to consider today. "Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So," verse 4, "so they ran both together." They were running together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. John, the one who believed that his love outruns Peter, he's younger than Peter. He outruns Peter and came first to the sepulchre. He got there first. Amen? Somebody say, John got there first. He got to the sepulchre first. And the Bible says, and he stooping down, that's in a state of humility. He's stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. That is a powerful statement. He did not go in. He got there first, but did not go in. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre." So John got there first, looks in, but did not go in. Why? Have you ever considered why? One of the most powerful lessons we should learn about the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the principle of honor. Someone say, honor. Though he outran Peter, he knew by the presence of God in his life that Peter had to go in there first before him. You get that? Peter went in first. Honor. Say it again with me. Honor. If you forget to learn the principle of honor, you sentence your life to mediocrity. No matter how well placed you are, dishonor will cause you to lose out. Never attach yourself to a person practicing dishonor. He stopped and waited. If that doesn't get the point across to you yet about the issue of honor, then come with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. This same issue of honor is the issue that caused Mary, when she got there and saw that the tomb was open, the stone was rolled away, she ran. She didn't even look in. She ran back and went to tell Peter, because they knew Jesus had pronounced Peter as the head of the church. So she went and went to get them. Amen? Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is Jesus at the cross. He cries out with a loud voice again. And the Bible says in verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 52, watch this. And the graves were what? Opened. And the graves were what? Opened. And the graves were what? Opened. And many of the bodies of the saints which slept, what? Arose. He's at the cross, is he not? He is crying at the cross. And the graves open, and the saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints, they rose. Huh? So they rose before him? Yeah. They rose, but watch this. Next verse. And what? Came out of the graves after his what? They rose. But they came out, they rose from their graves, but came out of their graves after. Some say, after. That means they waited for 3 days. Some say, honor. The one lesson you must learn when it comes to the resurrection, hidden in the text, is the lesson of honor. We can't get out of here until he comes out. He is the first fruit. We stay here until he comes out. And the Bible says they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. They could have gone into the holy city all this time. No, they waited until Jesus was resurrected. Then they went out into the city and appeared unto many. The key is this. When you position yourself in the place of honor, you get to show up. You get manifested so that people get to see you. You show yourself before he shows himself, you are finished. You're done. And there are so many people that want to do dishonorable things. They don't grab this principle of honor. Because you are able does not mean you should. They were able to come out, but they knew they should not. John got there first, but he knew, I should not. Honor. Honor is the first principle that causes the promises of God to be manifested in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. You waited. Jesus practiced honor. Our Lord Jesus practiced honor. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning to read from verse 3. The word of God says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory, that is taking on honor that is not meant for you. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, honor each other better than themselves. Now that word esteem there means to lead in self-control. Exercising self-control over yourself, esteem others, honor others better than themselves. And then it says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, and it was not robbery for him to be equal with God. But what did he do? Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And watch this. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to whom? To the Father. Unto that, even the death of the cross. And watch this, because he honored the Father, he got this. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him. In the seat of honor, God exalts you. Highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Giving him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. In every realm, they all bow. Why? Because he honored the Father in his obedience. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory. Watch this now. They are confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory. Not to his glory, but to the glory of God the Father. Are you with me? Honor is a powerful key to promotion. Without honor, you cannot be promoted. When you do anything out of a spirit of dishonor, because you think highly of yourself, you place yourself in a place where you are reduced to nothing, and you will never fulfill God's divine purpose and destiny for your life. Are you with me? It is so important to God, this issue of honor. Listen to this. We're talking about the resurrected Lord, because he rose again from the dead and therefore received that name. Amen? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to come to 1 Corinthians 15 again later. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want us to look at verse 28. The Bible says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be what? All in all. Go to 26 so you get the whole picture. Go to verse 26. It says, the last enemy shall be that to be destroyed is death. 27. For he had put all things under his feet. For he had put all things under his feet. But when he said, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. The one who put all things under his feet is accepted. He's not part of that which is put under his feet. Are you with me? Which did put all things under him? 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself, who is not under, now subject unto him, now put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Do you see it? He is not part of that we should be under, but he humbled himself, that the Father may be all in all. He lays every crown at his feet. You and I are going to receive crowns. But ultimately, we are going to take those crowns and say, God, thank you for the crown. You are the only one who deserves praise, worship, and adoration. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. The resurrection teaches us about the power of honor. Jesus, our Lord, says in John chapter 16 and verse 13, John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and we just read in John 20, he breathed into them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He promised the Holy Spirit. He says, but when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of what? Himself. He is going to guide you into truth because it's not going to be about himself. He's not going to be speaking about himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is there, and he is part of the Godhead. So even the Holy Spirit is subjecting to the principle of honor. And the Holy Spirit is not released to us until Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Honor. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning to read from verse 1. We read these words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. It's an issue of honor. Obey your parents. This is the right thing to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. all the commandments. There's no promise attached to it. There's one commandment that has a promise attached to it, and that promise is connected to the issue of honor. Hello? Honor. The resurrection teaches us about honor and the power of honor. And God says to us, honor your fathers, honor your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Verse 3. Why? That it may be well with thee. That it may be what? Well with thee. And that thou mayest live long on the earth. That it be well with you. What does that statement, that it be well with you, mean? It means that you, so that you may succeed in life. And that you live long to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Honor. Honor will keep you living. Honor will keep you successful. Dishonor will impoverish you. Dishonor will bring you to ruin. And our world is facing a whole mindset of dishonor. We dishonor God, we dishonor leaders, we dishonor authority. And the Bible says that that is one of the signs of the end times. Dishonor. When we do not honor God, when we do not honor parents, we do not honor authorities, we fail to succeed. This issue of honor is so primary in the mind of God that God says that even Moses did not bring railing accusations. That you don't even just open your mouth wide and even start talking nonsense because you think you're a believer, even at the devil. You don't. That's why we, in the name of Jesus, not I rebuke you, the Lord rebukes you. The Michael, the angel, did not bring accusations. Even though he was more powerful, he understood this one was once created by God. So, the Lord rebukes you. The one who has all honor and all authority rebukes you. Cancer, the Lord rebukes you. COVID-19, the Lord rebukes you. Don't put yourself in the equation. Let the Lord do it. That is your honor of him. Because you can now begin to depend on, oh, I'm a prayer warrior. I fasted for 40 days. Actually, I fasted for 60 days, more than Jesus. And because I fasted, that's why. No, because the Lord is Lord and he defeated the devil. That's why you have the authority to speak the word of rebuke and declare, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Or you become a person who falls into a state of entrapment. I mean, I have to honor. David understood it. That's part of why he's a man after God's heart. When a piece of, you know, Saul was pursuing him to kill him. And when he caught a piece off of Saul's garment, he began to cry and wail, oh my, what have I done? What have we done? We cannot lay our hands against the anointed of God. Because he understood. Do you understand the principle of honor? The resurrection is all about honor. Now, honor does not mean abusing people. For the word of God says, fathers, yes, children also honor you so that they can live a well blessed life and live long. But don't you provoke them to anger. Don't put them in a state where they are tempted to act dishonorably. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, bear in mind, we talked about living long and living a prosperous life. In Proverbs chapter 3, we read these words, verse 1, Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Which one of those commandments did God attach the promise to? To the one of honor. And God has not lost sight of that. So he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This is how you're going to find favor in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on not unto thine own understanding. This is an issue of honor right there. Not placing your faith in your ability, but trust in God. So we can see, we can glean from this, that the issue of honor is connected to a love walk and it's connected to a faith walk. The one you trust is the one that you are giving honor to. He says, don't lean onto your own understanding, but verse 6 now says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That word, acknowledge, is the word yada, and it is tied to the issue of honor. It's tied to the issue of leadership. It's tied to the issue of knowing, intimacy. In all thy ways, intimate yourself with him. Honor him, and he shall direct thy paths. Honor. That's why God asks you for your tithe. It's an act of honor. You're coming to God and saying, I honor you. You blessed me with this. My expression of thanksgiving is my expression of honor to him. The first fruit. That's why I'm convinced that your tithing is on your gross, not on your net. Because on your net, everybody else has dipped their hand into it. On your gross, you are saying, I don't care whether you took it before I saw it. I am giving God on the basis of the gross. I'm giving God from the top. First, before you think you took anything, I've already made the decision that I'm honoring God first. Honor. And then God gets to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. Amen? Honor. Someone say honor. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, whoever it is that honors me before man, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. You honor me before man, I will honor you before my Father. You talk about me because you join yourself with me and say, I'm with him. He says, I'm going to say to my Father, I'm with him. You honor me, I honor you. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 8, he says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Not only am I going to say, I'm with him, because he says he's with me, to God the Father, I'm going to say the same thing to the angels. Honor causes you not only to find favor with God, you find favor with angels, and you find favor with men. Honor. And this is a principle that is embedded into the story, the message of the resurrected Christ. His life from the very beginning right through to the end. You will receive that. The one lesson, bar none, that we must teach our children, bar none, the one lesson that we must teach our children and live out before our children is this simple lesson of honor. You want your children to succeed in life? Teach them about honor. Honor, 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 honor. When they understand honor, you're setting them up for life. The most dangerous thing you can teach your children, not by what you say, but by your actions and by your attitude, is dishonor. You teach your children dishonor, you're destroying their lives. That's why it's so crucial, and we all need to repent, that you husbands and wives should never call each other names before their children, because you're teaching them dishonor and therefore destroying their lives. You're destroying that child's life because he or she is learning dishonor, and they are going to practice dishonor, and that dishonor will destroy their lives. It will just, no matter how far they go, it will be like a pin to a balloon. How did their life? My child was doing so well. My child was doing so well. What happened? Dishonor will destroy the life. And we must cry out to God for every area of dishonor that we've displayed to each other, before others, before God. Repent of it, because the greatest route through which the enemy operates to bring about disaster into a life can be traced to the one that you have dishonored. I remember many years ago, I went home purposely to address the issue of dishonor. I had been ordained as a bishop over our churches. But there was a man that I felt I needed to represent our church and apologized to, whether it was right or wrong, it didn't matter. It was an issue of honor. And I would not take my seat as a general overseer of the ministry until I addressed the issue of honor. And I had to humble myself. I had nothing to do with the issues. And said, I come and I repent because of what has happened in the past. Receive the honor that is due you. Whether it was worthy of it, he was worthy of it, or not worthy of it, does not matter. It does not matter that your father or your mother is not worthy of the honor that you are supposed to give to them. Does not matter. What matters is that you practice honor so that God can elevate you, so that God can exalt you, so that God can promote you. Honor is of utmost importance. So that the full impact of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, did can be experiential for you and I on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Honor. You honor. You respect people. It's crucial. Oh, that person, what does he know? Created in the image and the likeness of God. Do you know where that person's life is heading? Or what is going to happen in their lives tomorrow? You don't. Honor. Honor. All the things that we are suffering in our society can be traced back to the issue of dishonor. When we move God out of the way and dishonored God, problems came. When we took God out of the schools, out of our homes, out of the public spaces, took God out, there came the devil. There came guns, there came drugs, there came all of the mess. Till the point that we are now spitting on cops, calling our leaders all kinds of names, dishonor. And we expect good to come out of this. Parents are stripped of the honor that belongs to them because somebody over there that, oh, they can't say that, they can't do that. Dishonor is destroying our society. Jesus came to bring restoration and peace to society. Dishonor is undoing whatever it is God came to do. And then we gripe and complain and blame somebody. The issue is dishonor. You're sitting on your big seat, dishonoring God, and you think things are going to be better? We've got to learn that powerful lesson. Now let me leave that alone for a moment. And address certain things about the resurrection. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Word of God addresses what the gospel is all about. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll take it from verse 1. And then I'm going to skip through 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Verse 2. "By which also ye are saved." You're saved by the gospel. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." He's telling us about the gospel. Christ died. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." This is all having to do with honor. And watch this. "And that he was seen of" who? "Of Cephas." Of Cephas. But Cephas. "Then of the 12. What? What? Why did he show up to Cephas first? Honor. He's ordained this man to be the chief lead minister in his team. And he shows himself to him first. And then to the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, or they've died. Verse 7. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Now, it's interesting. He's seen first by Peter. He's seen by this multitude of 500. After he's seen his disciples, now he comes and he sees James. Why is he seeing James? Well, because James is going to die. And he's coming to minister to him and saying to him, "James, it is well. You're going to honor me by your death." Then of all the apostles, this is another phase, because he knew they were all going to go one after the other. And why were they going to go? Because they refused to dishonor him. Verse 8. "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He's acknowledging where he was. Verse 10 is interesting. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all." All the apostles have worked harder than all of them. But he understood something. Watch this. "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I cannot take credit for this. I did all this, but I cannot take credit for it, because he did it through me. When we learn that, God continues to use us. If you don't learn that, you will not continue with God. You're not going to last. And there are so many ministers that have not lasted because they are in ministry for themselves, not to honor Him. When you are there to honor Him, you follow the instruction. I remember many years ago, there was trouble in the nation of Kenya. They'd gone through an election that went south, and different tribes were busy killing themselves. And during that same time, the Lord says, go to Kenya. I say, what? Lord, aren't you seeing the news? He said, I'm asking you to go to Kenya. So Mama and I went to Kenya together to hold a mass crusade right in the heat of the battle. There were houses still smoking from being burnt. People were burnt in those houses. And we're in this crusade ground ministering the word of God. Maybe about 100 people in the grounds. The rest of the people were outside the grounds. Because on this side was a whole bunch of a particular tribe, and on this side was another tribe, and they were not going to come inside. Day one, it was like that. Day two, they started moving. By day three, both tribes that were warring were in the grounds. And God was healing them. God was delivering them. God was setting them free. I believe it was in that trip that we got to meet the vice president of the nation, became friends with the vice president, and became friends with the mayor of the city. We got connected. God elevated from the place of honor. If we did not go, we would not have received the grace to be moved up, to get connected with the movers and the shakers. To the extent that one time we went to that nation, when we got there, this high-level minister, I won't mention where he was outside his house waiting like a child, waiting for us to come, because we weren't there at exactly the time that was supposed to be there. Everything is precise, but we're delayed by traffic, and he's waiting outside, looking. I said, wow. How did we get here? The number two person in the nation is waiting outside? Honor. You cannot buy it. You receive honor when you honor God. When you honor His prophets, judgment comes upon nations because of dishonor, especially of His prophets. You never do it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is of utmost importance. Some of the things that are connected to this resurrection of the Lord, verse 17 says, if the resurrection didn't happen, we've got serious issues. Our faith is vain. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Your faith is vain. It's a figment of your imagination. Number two. If Christ is not raised, ye are yet in your sins. I thought it was a cross. And God says, yeah, tell you what. If he was not raised, you're still in your sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made it possible for our sins to be wiped away. Hallelujah. That means without the resurrection, we are not forgiven. This must be important. Verse 16 says, without the resurrection, there is no resurrection for you. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Because Christ is raised, you too will be raised from the dead. That's powerful. If Christ is not raised from the dead, you perish. Verse 18. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They died for nothing. They went through life for nothing. Verse 19. If Christ is not raised from the dead, we are miserable people. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if it's just about, okay, living a good life, getting blessed, and the resurrection didn't happen, then we are of all men most miserable. We just wasted time. 20 says, what's this? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, of them that slept. Why is he the first fruits of them that slept? Honor. Because the grave opened when he died on the cross. And they arose, the saints arose, but they stayed there because of honor, so that he could be the first fruits. Could they get out? Absolutely. What was holding them? But honor said, no, he is the first fruit. But wait a minute. What is the guarantee that it was going to come out? What guarantee do they have that Jesus is going to come out, that he was going to defeat the devil all by himself? There was no guarantee. The guarantee was their faith, their believing, and their believing was manifested by their act of honor. We'll wait until he comes out. And Jesus went to the depths of hell and defeated the devil and all his cohorts. What was the reason why the devil operated in the first place? Why did the devil get cast down? He was cast down because of dishonor. He was blessed with all of this, but whatever it is that was given to him was not sufficient. Don't ever dishonor God by challenging whatever it is that is given. And that devil carried that same attitude and manifested it in the minds of men. Did God really say? Well, God is really trying to hide something from you. Dishonoring God, and men captured by that spirit of dishonor, dishonored God by doing what God said they should not do. So disobedience is an act of dishonor. Hello? When we are not obedient to God, we are dishonoring God. Where do you want to be in your walk with him? If you want God in your life, then learn that powerful key of honor. Because your love for God is demonstrated by your honor. Dishonor is what ultimately is going to banish people from being in the presence of God. Have you ever thought about why God is so adamant about the fact that you must not take the mark of the beast? The mark of the Antichrist? The one who wants to be competing with him? Dishonor. You dishonor me by joining yourself with the Antichrist and placing your faith in the system of man rather than the system of God, you don't belong to me. And you can never belong to me. Dishonor. When you are not gathering with God, that's an act of dishonor. You are building your own kingdom. Dishonor. Dishonor. And God calls it ultimately the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He says, that's a sin that cannot be forgiven. If you continue in that pathway, you end up in eternal damnation. Honor is important to God. And if it is, it must be important to you. And if it is, then that's something that you must practice as best as you can. Don't accept dishonor in your life. Don't allow anyone to dishonor you. Separate yourself from that situation. If you're going to be dishonored, move away from it. Because accepting dishonor means that you are tolerating that which man is bestowing upon you rather than holding on to what God says about you. Don't believe the lie of dishonor. Believe what God says. Don't believe your circumstance. Believe what God says. Don't believe the confusion that's happening around you, believe what God says. So having faith in God is an act of honor. Not believing God is an act of dishonor. Because you are placing your faith in the natural rather than in God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then you know that he is the conquering king and that he is the one who lives inside of you. And if he lives inside of you, then the greater one is living inside you than the one that's out there in the world. I cannot be defeated because the greater one is in me. I am more than a conqueror because the greater one is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me move on to something else when we talk about all of this. Because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means that I also will be resurrected. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll talk about the resurrection and the rapture in a moment. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39 through 45. Tells us about the change that's taking place in us because of the resurrection. It says, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Celestial are heavenly, and terrestrial are earthly, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. He's talking about differences. And then he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Hallelujah. It is raised how? In incorruption. Incorruption means not corruptible. Amen? Watch that. Now, we need to align ourselves with that word, because in coming to agreement with that word, we are declaring war against the lie of the enemy that speaks corruption into our lives. Well, I guess, you know, every day I'm getting older, and therefore my systems are going to be aging. And no, we stand against and resist everything that wants to bring corruption into our system by the word of God tied to the resurrection. He says there's all kinds of flesh. So there's a flesh that is tied to resurrection life. My youth can be renewed. Amen? Next verse. Watch this. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised how? In glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised how? In power. You know, but the problem is that we think about these things only in futuristic terms. But as he is, so are we right now. So if Jesus does not have cancer right now, I cannot have cancer. If he's not diabetic right now, I cannot be diabetic. If he doesn't have skin issues, I cannot have skin issues. If he doesn't have a nervous breakdown, I cannot have a nervous breakdown. If he's not in fear, I cannot be in fear. Hallelujah. Why? I was sown with him. Hallelujah. He took on my sin. But then when he did it, the Bible says, I was crucified with him. So I was then sown in dishonor, in sin, but was raised in glory, just like he was raised in glory. I was sown in weakness. When he was going to the cross, he fell so many times in weakness, but he was raised how? In power. Glory be to God. There is an exchange. Hallelujah. Verse 44. The word of God says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Wow. Let's go on. 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God breathed into him and he became a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. Not a living soul, a quickening spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen? A quickening spirit. If that same spirit which raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall what? Quicken your what? Mortal body. And when it talked about quickening our mortal bodies, it wasn't talking about a resurrection that's to come. It's talking about God quickening you now. A quickening spirit. I am created in the image of the quickened spirit. Hallelujah. I'm a spirit being. And therefore, COVID-19 cannot have any attachment to me. Glory be to God. My body is not conducive to viruses multiplying. From whichever way, whatever form it's going to take. You know, some people say it's 5G that's causing it. 5G or no 5G, it has nothing to do with me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Listen, don't be afraid of no 5G. When you're a child of God, it has nothing to do with you. You are a quickened spirit. You are faster than 5G. Glory be to God. A quickening spirit. You're moving at a different wavelength. Rabba sheke lebra santele makaha. Listen to verse 47. It says this. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. 48. Watch this. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are what? Heavenly. I am what? Heavenly. Not earthy. That's why I'm an ambassador. I was born from above. And that which is born from above is above all. 49. Watch this. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So I have the image of the heavenly. Amen? Hallelujah. When? Now. When? When I agree with that word. When? When I honor the word of God and accept what God has to say, I become a representative of the Heavenly One. For as He is right now, so am I. Why? Because I'm walking in love. And when I'm walking in love, I'm walking in honor. I understand that for this purpose He came, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Because He's risen from the dead, verse 51, He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. Amen? Everyone changed. Oh, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last what? Trump. At the what? Last trump. Now, remember what I said to us some time back, that when you go through the Word of God, you can, if you are a pre-tribulation person, you can find a whole school of material to prove your thought. Pre-trib. If you're a mid-trib person, you can find a whole bunch of scriptures and you prove your mid-trib position. If you are a post-trib person, you can find a whole school of scriptures to prove your post-trib situation. It's all there. And the reason is so that the devil doesn't know when he's coming. But when he finally comes, like a thief in the night, it's going to be at the time of the blasting of the last trump. The last trump. Well, the last trump is not in chapter 2 of Revelation. It's not in chapter 3 of Revelation. It's not in chapter 4 of Revelation. It's not in chapter 5 of Revelation. Keep on reading. Some will tell you, oh, we're gone in chapter 3. Chill, man, chill. He says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, how? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If you're dead, you'll be raised, incorruptible. If you're alive, you'll be changed. Guess what? When Jesus came out of the grave, he came out with a changed body. That's why they could not recognize him. It was a body of flesh and bones, no blood. You know, mimicking blood in our system, blood mimics light. And you and I are going to be these light beings. No corruption. The blood is corruptible. God drains every mess out of you and sanitizes you completely with the life of his light, changed in the twinkling of an eye. 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. Why? Because of the resurrection. 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 58. Therefore, because we've received this victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Not sometimes, not when it is convenient, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor of service, your labor of honoring God, your labor of doing what God has called you to do, commissioned you to do, is not in vain in the Lord. Why all of that? The resurrection. The resurrection. That's why. And today, I want you and I to embrace the word of the Lord. There are lessons we can learn from the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, you receive forgiveness. Because of the resurrection, you are quickened. Because of the resurrection, you not only have you died with him, you were raised with him. You ascended with him. And now you are seated with him in glory. Jesus, our Lord, said, I am seated on the throne with my Father. And you, when you overcome, you get to sit with me also. Guess what? You will be sitting with him who is seated with the Father, and you're seated in the same throne. Why? You honored him. And when you honor God, God honors you. Will you honor God today? The greatest act of honor, the first and foremost act of honor, you can demonstrate to God that you are honoring Him about is in the giving of your life. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can honor Him right now by surrendering your life to Him and saying, God, I give you my life. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I refuse to lean onto my own understanding. I lean on your understanding. I refuse to believe that I can work out my own salvation in my own ability and in my own strength. I accept the principles of your word. And I work out my salvation by honoring you. That's what Philippians chapter 2 talks about. Honoring God. Just like Jesus honored God. Just like our Lord Jesus honored God. You honoring God means that you submit yourself to God and God will begin to elevate you. If you prayed that prayer with me, I assure you right now, without any filter of doubt, that you are at this very moment saved, born again, established in the love of God. The second way that we can honor God is not only in the giving of our lives, but in the giving of our finances, which is also the giving of our life. When you honor God with your giving, you are saying, God, I believe you, that you are my provider. My provision is not on what I can keep. My provision is in my giving to you, so that you can make my little much. God can bless your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes and cause you to have every need met, satisfied, and come out at the other end still having a surplus. If you believe God, if you honor God, you give. If you don't honor God, you can't give. Your giving is tied to your honor. Your giving is tied to your believing that He is exactly what He says He is. He is who He says He is. So today I want to challenge you not only to give your life, but to give your finances. And guess what? The giving of your finances is the giving also of your life. Because you are paid for your life. Today, honor God. Give to God your best gift. On this resurrection day, don't tie yourself to, oh, this is my tithe. No, give. Give, give, give the very best that you can. Give your best. And as you give your best, watch God give His best and much more to you. He's promised to do so. Will you believe Him to do that? If you do, then it will show in your actions, in your attitudes. And please don't forget what you heard today. Honor is linked directly to the core of the message of resurrection. It's all in there. And by the grace of God, I've been able to share this with you today. I'm going to now lead you in another prayer, and then we're going to share in communion together. And this prayer that we're going to pray right now is a prayer of repentance for actions and attitudes of dishonor that we may have displayed towards each other, towards our spouses, towards our parents, towards the relationships that God has placed in our path. rise wherever you are with me right now. And repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I repent of every attitude of dishonor, every word of dishonor that I've displayed, every action I've taken that's been dishonorable. I repent of it. I ask, oh God, for forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord, that from this very moment, by your strength and by your ability, I will walk with honor. I will honor my spouse. I will honor my children. My children will honor me. I will honor my parents. Lord, oh God, even those that have even passed on, Lord, oh God, this day, I repent of every action, every attitude of dishonor. I do not want to be disqualified from the very best that you have for me. And by your grace, even now, I receive the full impact of the benefits of living a life of honor, the honoring of you, the honoring of others, and the honoring of myself. May I never dishonor myself, dishonor others, or dishonor you, my King. Forever in Jesus' name, I declare this so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.